Welcome to Magical Moms Travel Podcast. I am April.
I am Carla.
And I'm Lena.
Together, we will spill the tea on the highs and lows and hilariously ugly moments of planning a magical family vacation with insider tips, expert tricks, and the enchanting magic that ensures your trip will be truly unforgettable.
So buckle up for the wildest ride of the wilderness.
Welcome back to Magical Moms Travel Podcast for episode 6, where we will explore Magic Kingdom for beginners. In today's episode, we're going to talk about everything you need to know about Magic Kingdom in Disney World.
Hello, everyone. Oh boy, I'm excited for this episode. I'm not going to lie one bit.
Me too. I can't wait to delve into Magic Kingdom. I love it so much.
We talked in our last episode about, you know, just basic facts about Disney World in general. And when we did an overview of the parks, we definitely talked about Magic Kingdom being one of those parks that you just have to prioritize, right? You just have to go to. And so I'll just start off with a couple of facts about Magic Kingdom. And in my opinion, all of this is opinion and perspective, of course, one of the reasons why you have to visit this park, in my opinion, is because there's just so many attractions. There's over 40 attractions in this park, and I also truly believe that this park is the best park for all ages, especially the young ones, and I'm going to share really quickly why, but there's so much to do for the littlest of the park fans. When our family first traveled as a family of four back in 2017, I remember phoning a friend and saying, okay, I have a baby. What are we going to be able to do at Magic Kingdom? And I remember her telling me, Carla, you can literally go on almost everything. She didn't give a percentage, but literally almost everything, as there's only a handful of rides that have height requirements. So for me, that was a huge sell. You guys, I wore my baby on my chest on almost over half the rides. So for me, I loved that. And I sell that as a point to my clients when they talk about, well, we have a little kid. What are we going to do at Magic Kingdom? And my response is literally everything. Like, right. You can do it all, almost everything. So that's definitely what I love most about Magic Kingdom is it's for all ages, but it's definitely wonderful for the littlest ones in your family.
Yeah, so I have a question for April. Maybe you can answer this. My biggest pushback from a potential client who's looking to go to Disney World is if they have boys and they think that Magic Kingdom is only princesses. Maybe, April, do you have any thoughts about how to approach maybe a family full of boys?
That's very interesting because I also only have a princess. I think so. This park definitely has like the Pirates of the Caribbean stuff, and you've got swords and Jack Sparrow, and you've got a lot of roller coasters, and we've got Peter Pan and Mickey, and there's something for everyone, boys and girls. And I know there's princess dining, and there's the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique, but there's also Sir Mickey's. There's something literally for everyone.
I want to add in like Buzz Lightyear and Tomorrowland. You know, essentially what they don't have to do is get in line to meet princesses, right? Mm-hmm. Which just saves a lot of time. But
and they can do everything else.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, such a great opportunity for boys, you know, girls, whoever, adults and everybody. And just for you listeners, if you don't know, Magic Kingdom is huge. There are 6 lands in Magic Kingdom. What are they, friends?
So there's Fantasyland. That's where you're going to have some of the classic, iconic Disney rides and attractions. Then you have Adventureland with your Pirates of the Caribbean, your Jungle Cruise, and a Tiki Room, which is a really cute show as well. And then on top of that, you have Frontierland, which is our favorite roller coaster, the three of us, Big Thunder Mountain. And then you have Liberty Square, which has Haunted Mansion. That was the big ride there. Tomorrowland, which has the Neutron roller coaster, as well as some other awesome things there. Then you have Main Street, which is mainly the shops, some food there as well. But that's what you think of when you walk through it, the gates, and you see Main Street and the castle.
Yeah. Lena touched on a lot of things in those lands, such as shows and rides. And Carla said there's 40 attractions. That's rides and shows. There's parades. There's fireworks at night. There's shops. restaurant, there's so much to do in this park that you are undoubtedly going to need at least 2 days to see and do the majority of the things in this park. And by seeing and doing, I don't mean rushing and running to every ride minute after minute after minute. I mean slowing down, taking it in, taking in the sights, the sounds, the smells, because it's a whole experience. I mean, even some of the ride line cues, such as like Peter Pan, it's interactive. And there's a story being told from the moment you step into that ride queue all the way through the ride. And so Disney is an experience. It's not something to just check off and get done.
For sure. I love you. I love that you said that, April. And one thing that I kept thinking of as I'm smiling in my head is telling our audience, if you ever get a chance to go on a mom's only Disney trip, like us three ladies did back in January, once in a lifetime opportunity, then you can do everything in Magic Kingdom and slow down without pushing strollers and nursing babies and all of that. That's what I kept thinking of. But yeah, undoubtedly necessary to visit at least 2 days. You know, I shared in previous episodes, our family goes every summer. My husband and I work in the schools, and so that's our main vacation. And we will do Park Hopper, and we will end every night at Magic Kingdom. One, because I absolutely love the fireworks show. Two, we will stay on the monorail, and we can walk home from the park to our hotel if you stay on the monorail. So it's walkable from three resorts, the monorail that connects Magic Kingdom and Epcot, and then there's a boat that has access to four resorts, which is super cool. So most people don't even realize the multiple different types of transportation at Disney World and at Magic Kingdom. You've got monorail, good old 2 feet, boats. Then there's buses. There's buses to every other resort that you can't walk to or take a boat from. So it's really nice and accommodating that they offer different ways to transport back to your hotel or wherever you're going.
And I like to point out too, talking to family, talking to you guys that have young kids and you think, where am I going to breastfeed this baby? Do I have to sit in a stinky bathroom and do that? No, you don't. There are mothering stations available in each park. And in this park in particular, it is close to the front of the park, but there's places to have quiet time in there. You can do diaper changes. I believe they have like Band-Aids and maybe even some basic medications like Tylenol and things in there. Disney really makes it wonderful for families and accommodating for families, period. Speaking on that and speaking of bathrooms, there are multiple jackpot bathrooms, and Carla is our resident bathroom expert. What do you want to tell us about the bathroom?
Oh boy, do I know all about bathrooms, not just in Disney World, but very specifically in Magic Kingdom. So yeah, there are, as April called them, jackpot bathrooms that are just kind of hidden. They're just ones that are maybe off the beaten path, that are behind attractions or in the back of a certain land. For example, I'm thinking of like the infamous Rapunzel bathrooms that are most notably known for being the nicest, but then there's bathrooms behind Casey's Corner that are, you know, not very busy most of the time. And so again, something like a bathroom, especially if you're traveling with kids, good thing to note is there are family bathrooms. So a lot of times all five of us will go into a family bathroom. So if we're changing a diaper and, you know, others are doing their business, we'll try and get all that done at the same time. So there are a decent amount of family bathrooms throughout the parks. And again, those are things that we as travel planners know, and we share with our guests, you know, in itineraries before they go on their trips, on here's the best bathroom, and you know, here's where you can change if there's like water type attractions, you know, where you have to change your kids' clothes or whatever the case. So I love that about the parks. I love that specifically about Magic Kingdom, is they do have a lot of bathrooms that are easily accessible, although some are hidden, and once you know where they are, then that tends to be like your go-to couple of bathrooms for your trip there. So I love it. Anything to add about bathrooms, Lena?
Oh, you're putting me on the spot. Honestly, my favorite is the Rapunzel bathroom, but my favorite part about that is at nighttime they usually have the lanterns lit up, and sometimes they'll have a photographer there to do all the fun photos that you can do with lanterns.
Yeah. So, and with us talking all about bathrooms and how big this park is, some of you might be saying, okay, but I don't really want to be walking around and standing in lines. And is there anywhere for me to rest? And while there are some places for you to sit and rest, the Hubgrass being one of my favorites, except in the dead of the summer, there's the train that goes all the way around the park. So some people even use the train as a mode of transportation from one side of the park to the other, so they don't have to walk. Also, kids think you're doing something. So you get some popcorn, and kids are like, oh, we're riding the train. And it's still exciting for them, and you get to rest your feet.
Yeah, it's great. And one thing to note about the trains, however, you do have to park your stroller. So what we typically do is we will park our stroller at Main Street and we'll take the train as like an attraction, one whole loop around, and then we'll get our stroller and go on our merry way. But if you don't have a stroller or if that's not an issue, I think if maybe you have an umbrella stroller, you probably could fold it and put it on your lap. But they're definitely It's really relaxing. And April, you described kids getting popcorn and sitting on the train. Well, I did that in January and I was the happiest adult in all of the lands. Do you remember me eating my popcorn? In
I
fact,
do.
you two were in line for the train and I was like, I gotta go get my popcorn. And I was like the happiest mama without kids there in the park, eating my popcorn on the train. So
I'm
it was
pretty
one cool thing.
sure. I'm pretty sure I have a picture of you with your popcorn on the train.
Oh, gosh, I loved it. So fun. But yeah, that's a whole nother attraction. That's just super neat. And, they have like the voiceover talking about the different lands, and it's just such a cool feel. I love it.
So if you guys listened to our previous episode, which was the basics on Walt Disney World and just a quick overview, then we strongly recommended that you visit Magic Kingdom at least twice in your trip, if not more. If you've got Park Hopper, this park is the one that usually stays open the latest at night. And so you might even want to just park hop over and hit a few attractions that maybe you missed or whatever. Speaking on the whole attractions thing, the big topic these days is, do I need Genie Plus? And I think we unanimously agree that this park is the park that you have to have Genie Plus for.
I think it's the amount of attractions that are available as well, so you don't feel as stressed to be online at a certain time, and you feel like you get your money's worth for sure because there's so many different attractions that you can use it on that it just really makes it worth it.
Yeah.
All right, so what about the lightning lanes as well?
All right, so definitely this whole area of attractions and Genie Plus and Lightning Lane and individual Lightning Lane, all of it can get kind of confusing. So most of the rides at, I think we already mentioned this, but most of the rides at Magic Kingdom don't have a height or an age requirement, meaning that like newborns can essentially ride. But as far as individual Lightning Lanes, there are two rides where you can purchase ahead of time, the morning of, is it 7 a.m., right, friends? At 7 a.m., you can purchase an individual lightning lane, which is essentially you buying a guaranteed time to ride that attraction. Okay, so yes, you're paying more on top of what you're already paying, but if those two rides at Magic Kingdom, it is Tron and it is Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. Those are the two where you can purchase an individual lightning lane for an additional charge per person in your family to ride. On top of that, who wants to explain virtual queue? And then maybe we can share a couple of tips on how you can maybe even get to these rides without needing a special reservation, at least for one of them.
Yeah, so right now the virtual queue is going to be for Tron. You're going to want to log in at 7 a.m., well, before 7 a.m. to make sure you get a spot. And I think that if you can get a spot in the virtual queue, then that will save you from having to buy the individual lightning lane. For Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, I always tell people that you don't have to get an individual lightning lane unless you really want to. I find that in the end of the night, after fireworks, during fireworks, if you're not a fireworks family, you can kind of find that the wait times go down a little bit. Or you can try to rope drop it first thing in the morning to eliminate the need for that individual lightning lane.
Yeah, and one more thing I wanted to mention about virtual queue is So it really does, it's tying you to your phone. You've got to be up at least 6:58, be on the app and try to schedule that. But there's another time that you can try, which is at 1 p.m., but you have to be in the park. And everybody that you're scheduling for to ride it with you has to be in the park at that time. So that essentially gives you two opportunities to try for free and not have to buy that individual lightning lane. I think we can have a whole episode that we'll probably do at some point explaining Genie Plus, lightning lanes, individual lightning lanes a little bit further. But we did want to mention that we do require that for this. We don't require it, but we do recommend that for this park, that you use Genie Plus. And I believe we all three have guides, plus we can do phone calls and videos showing you how to use those things.
So to wrap up this little conversation on attractions, April and Lena, big question of the hour. What is your absolute favorite ride or rides? You can share a few at Magic Kingdom.
I think I've recently decided that Big Thunder Mountain is probably my favorite ride. However, also because my feet feel like they're dying, I love the People Mover. I want to get on there, put my feet up, feel the breeze, and just relax.
I think we might all have the same favorites at this point because I feel the same way. People Mover is a must, especially once my feet start hurting. And then the other one that we all agree on is, or maybe hopefully, Pirates, because it's just so immersive and you get the different smells and the different sounds and maybe some splashes of water. And that's super fun as well. We'll see when Tiana's Bayou Adventure comes out, how that is, and if that impacts our choices. But right now, yeah, I would say my favorite is Pirates, Big Thunder, and People Mover.
So fun to share.
I
I
don't
feel
want
the
to.
same. You guys know.
Yeah, I know.
So.
I don't want to minimize Tiana's Bayou Adventure, but that is not going to change in my book.
Yeah, probably not. So I just had a birthday recently that I celebrated, and my husband bought me the coolest sweatshirt that says I'm a people mover kind of person, and I love it so much. So people mover is just my jam. But then on the thrill side, absolutely, I love Big Thunder Mountain. Although Tron was a ride that I did not think I was going to like. Don't put those thumbs down, April. I see you. And I love Tron. Like, I did not want to like it because I always hate the hype of like a new ride and everybody needing to go there. But when I first rode Tron last summer, I was like, oh man, this is good. So that is a really good thriller that I personally like. Pirates, of course. Like, that was our very first family ride as a family of four. My littlest was 9 months and my oldest was like 2.5. And we literally rode that ride about 20 times that whole trip. And so every time we go back, there's just so many memories. There's at least one time when I'm on that ride during the trip where I'm just crying tears of gratitude because I'm just so happy to be in our happy place. So I love it. Love it, love it. All right, so let's switch gears here and talk briefly about characters in the parks. Now, characters are all throughout the parks. They're even at some resorts, of course, but characters at Magic Kingdom, there definitely are a lot of characters. What do either of you mind sharing about the meet and greets at Magic Kingdom?
I mean, the big thing comes to mind is that some people might have it in this expectation that they're going to see roaming characters. And unfortunately, at Disney World, I mean, it does happen from time to time, but it's not the park that you're thinking of or maybe have seen videos. That would be in Disneyland. So Disneyland has different rules for their characters in California. But we do have some roaming characters like Peter Pan, and sometimes the princesses will roam around during the fireworks behind the castle, and that's super special. The characters in Magic Kingdom are also changing a lot. So, of course, you're going to have your iconic Mickey and Minnie and Daisy and Donald and things like that. But you might also see currently we have Mirabelle from Encanto, and previously we had Merida from Brave, which my girls absolutely loved visiting with. But so you might see some differences, and you might see some unique characters as well in other in the parades and the stage shows.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that, Lane. And the other thing I just want to share, and we will share this with you again too, if you want any of us to help you with your planning, but We always recommend referring to the app. Like Lena said, the characters change often. So referring to the app for the absolute must up-to-date character sightings is necessary. And it's really cool because in the My Disney Experience app, you can literally find the character that you're hoping to see that day, and it'll tell you where in the parks that character is. So always also recommend, especially for the little ones, getting autograph books, or some people will do like a picture frame and sign the picture frame, and just some sort of capturing the moment of signatures and photos and all those things is super important too. So, and then April alluded to this a long time ago as well. I don't know if it was this episode or before, but character meals are a really great opportunity to also see the characters and not have to wait in line. So, definitely keep that in mind during your planning. All right. So, who wants to talk about all the dining at Magic Kingdom? Wah,
All
wah.
right. I know Carla
Don't
kind of
everybody
alluded
jump
to
at
it.
once.
Ah, Carla kind of alluded to it that Magic Kingdom can be so hit or miss because, on the one hand, the table service is a lot about experiences like Cinderella's Royal Table, Be Our Guest, Inside Beast Castle. So you have these very unique experiences. But on the other hand, sometimes I find that, because of the price and the expectations, that they miss the mark sometimes. So Magic Kingdom is not my favorite food park. I will just be honest about that. You do have a lot of the maybe classic park food like hot dogs and chicken tenders and burgers, but there are some unique options as far as snacks like the cheeseburger egg rolls, the Nutella waffle sandwich and the spicy chicken sandwich. So there are some unique options as far as snacks and things go inside Magic Kingdom, but what are you guys' thoughts about food in Magic Kingdom?
I have to say, I agree completely. I think, we've done Cinderella's Royal Table and you hit it. You hit the nail on the head. The expectation was so high because we're going and we're eating in Cinderella's castle and we're eating with the princesses, and the food kind of missed the mark, especially for the cost. So, I mean, do I recommend people not do it? No, I definitely think it's an experience people want to do and should do, and our little princesses, not that they deserve to have that experience. The food kind of missed the mark for me. And so, here I'm content just hopping to Casey's Corner and grabbing some corn dog nuggets and calling it a day, because you're just not going to get anything that great here.
I agree. I think every family who goes there has their favorites, their favorite snack. You can't go wrong with cinnamon roll at Gaston's Tavern, and they actually have a really good frozen drink there. But no one, I've never ate a churro that I didn't like. But again, these aren't extremely special treats. They're traditional storybook dining treats, as unique ice cream, like whatever, different themed and princesses. So it's pretty good. But again, I agree. There is not a whole lot of sit down choices there that we just can't wait to get to. Again, Crystal Palace is a pretty cool character meet and greets where you can meet Winnie the Pooh and characters. And the food, I hear we usually do breakfast there, but I heard that you could go between breakfast and lunch and you could eat brunch, which is kind of neat if you want to try something different. But yeah, definitely not the best park in our opinions for food, but your traditional food is there and it's available and there's plenty of it and you can order ahead of time on the mobile app and it is convenient, and so for that, the dining is what it is. It's good enough for what most kids are going to eat. It's just might not be exciting for your own adult palate if you're looking for something super duper fancy. The
Yeah, I
hard
agree.
truth about Magic Kingdom dining. Trust me, it doesn't stop me from not going. So,
Absolutely not.
right.
and if you don't like the food, bring in your own damn food. Which, by the way, that's a
Which
good
you
point to
can,
know.
yes.
You can bring in your own food. Like people make sandwiches, peanut butter jelly, whatever. There really aren't crazy restrictions. You can bring a cooler. You just can't bring loose ice in the cooler. So, like what we do, which I'm sure Sure, we'll talk about packing lists sometime down the road in episodes. Is we, our family, will go to the dollar store and literally just buy tons of Ziploc bags, freezer, gallon bags, sandwich bags, and we'll pack our own snacks. And sometimes we'll pack a sandwich or two and cheese sticks and all that. And so that's another thing, too, is you could really save some money on bringing your own food, especially if you're going to a park where you know that you're not really going to want to spend a whole lot on their food. But you know, of course, it's more fun just spending the money anyways on more corn dog nugget.
I think that my number one recommendation is usually to have a dinner or maybe a lunch, depending on if it's the summer and you want a midday break. Maybe book a dining at one of the monorail resorts, because then you get to ride the monorail and then you get to explore one of the resorts that are close by if you're not staying there. And you get a sit-down dining experience that you maybe would consider more enjoyable, and it would satisfy everyone's palate. Something like Chef Mickey's, like we talked about earlier before, or there's just so many other good options as well at the other resorts in the area.
That's such a really good idea. And anybody has access to that too. So you don't have to be staying at the resorts, the deluxe resorts on the monorail to eat there, of course. But that's great for like midday breaks or even in the evening. If go have dinner and then maybe come back to the fireworks or maybe watch the fireworks at one of the resorts. But I did want to add in there, and I couldn't remember the name of it, but one of the quick services that I do like, I mean, it's not, you know, 5-star diamond, but Columbia Harbor House is happens to be like our family's favorite when it comes to just, you know, fish and what is it, shrimp and hush puppies. Like we end up eating there all the time. I mean, it's not the most incredible, but it is good. So that's probably one of our favorite quick services that we usually.
And they have a pretty big dining room, so there's usually
Yeah,
seating
it's
in
a great
comparison to
place to
some
go
of the
hide.
other, quick service. You can't find seating inside in the AC, so
Yeah,
it's
for
a good
sure.
option.
Yeah.
So, I think we've hit on all the topics of Magic Kingdom. I'm sure there's way more we can dive into at some other point, but for now, we wanted to say thank you for tuning in to today's episode of Magical Moms Travel Podcast. We would love to hear what you think about Magic Kingdom, including your favorites or any questions you may have on our Instagram page. Stay tuned for our next episode where we'll be discussing all things Epcot for beginners.
Don't forget to connect with us on social media to continue the conversation and share your Disney travel questions and stories. Remember, with just a little knowledge of the basics when it comes to Disney World and help from your expert travel planners, you will be a pro in no time. Until next time, may your travel planning be blissful and stress-free.